long as we can maintain an independent government in South Vietnam without the increase in casualties that we would bear if we attacked the North, we ought to follow this course of action. I think they all agree with that.
What else do you get from them?
Considerable concern over the backlash and the unrest in Negro communities. They are, of course, so close to Harlem, they're full of it. And then considerable concern over the shrinking margin of victory, your victory. They were much more pessimistic than I in this respect. Again, I think, however, their views are tainted by their close association with Harlem. This is about the only thing they could think of other than Vietnam.
What do they think about Goldwater?
Very dangerous. And I tried to further their view on that subject.
What do they dislike about us, about me? What are we not doing right? Handling Latin America right?
No, on the contrary. They seem to feel that you were doing well in Latin America. They thought the OAS conference came out well. They thought, with hindsight, your handling of the Panama incident was satisfactory. We didn't talk too much about Latin America, but I didn't find them critical of any major facet of your policy.
What did they say about Vice President?
Oh, they wanted to talk about that, and I just wouldn't talk about it. I said that it was inappropriate for me to discuss it, but I'm sure you at the proper time would make your decision and be the right decision.
They didn't give any of their views?
Yeah, they did. They said that they had... Clifton Daniels was present, and he said that New Yorkers had told him that day, and I suspect this is the business community or business influence up there, that the choice was between Humphrey and me, and I said I didn't believe it, and we just passed it off. But that's about what they line of conversation. They were, as I say, very much more pessimistic than I about your victory margin. They thought it was shrinking. They thought there were serious problems in the Midwest, of course, in the South. They were much more concerned about Goldwater, frankly, than I. We didn't differ at all on the danger.
Well, I'm concerned about it.
Well, I know you are. I know you are.
Have you had any reading today on my conversation yesterday?
Yes. I had a reading yesterday. I talked to Bobby two or three times yesterday.
What was your last one?
Well, evening? Yes, in the evening, about, say, 7 o'clock or 7:30, something like that. I tried to get him to go out to dinner with me, but I never did arrange that. But I did talk to him 7:30 last night, and I also talked to him this morning, but not in any length on this. But the very fact we didn't discuss any length this morning seemed to me to indicate that he had accepted the decision and was not doing anything to act against it. And that was certainly the impression I had yesterday. On the other hand, I didn't get any feeling that he was willing to initiate a new statement, which I think ought to be done.
Well, I'm ready and prepared, able, willing to do it. I don't want to do it and then say, well, you did me wrong.
I know that.
I want to play it fair, and I'm willing to take the responsibility or let him take it or do it any way he wants to. And I told him, he said he wanted to think about it. I don't think it's wise to let it be dangling because everybody in town knows it.
That's right.
And they're going to get it galloped. My judgment is the right way to do it is say that I've told the president that I've decided I will not desire to campaign this year for vice president. What caused him to do that?
But I would wish to participate in any way.
But I will help the president any way I can.
Exactly.
One sentence.
Exactly.
Now that's what I'd say.
Exactly what ought to be said.
And he wouldn't be turned down that way. Nobody really runs for vice president. He's got any sense, and I never saw one that ran for it. And I've been here 30 years.
Sure.
But that's what he ought to say. Now the alternative to that is for me to say that I think the battleground will be. In the Middle West and the border states, and for that reason, I don't plan to pick anyone from New England.
Yeah.
Now, that brings a division between us, and which it oughtn't to be, and makes it more difficult down the road. And I think it shows he's rejected, and I don't want to reject him.
Well, I think, Mr. President, I would hope if you have to initiate the statement of the press, you could go further than you have and say, and you've communicated this decision to the Attorney General, along with your hope that he can continue to play an important role in the executive branch. And he in turn said that he understood your decision and wished to play in whatever part he could in the campaign, in your campaign.
Yeah, he told me that. Did he tell you that he had said that?
Yeah. And I think certainly the public statement ought to indicate that. But
how do you think the wise way to bring it to a head?
Well, my suggestion is to let a few more hours go by today, end of the day. I think the story will hold till the end of the day. And I would hope he would initiate a contact with you. And if he doesn't, I'll try to...
All right, you got any... You got any...
So far, it's come off very well, Mr. President.
Did you get what he told you that I said, that I handled it as the best I could?
Absolutely.
I was candid with him. I was forthright. I told him that I wanted him to stay and I wanted him to help and so on and so forth. I didn't offer him anything specifically. I told him I wouldn't ask anybody to resign, but I would help him, and I wasn't envious of him. I didn't have any objection to his advancement. I thought he had a bright future. Be glad to see it come about, but it wasn't this year.
Well, I got the impression from the way he reacted that you'd handle it absolutely right, and I think his reaction was good under the circumstances.
Well, it was better right after the meeting, though, I gather, than it was later in the day from what some of them told me so and said.
Well, I wasn't here right after the meeting. I didn't get back till about 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and I talked to him maybe at 5:30 and 6 and 7 or something like that, and at that time it was pretty good.
Now, what impression did he finally leave with you, that he would prefer that I'd make a statement, or he hadn't decided?
He hadn't decided.
Who are his confidants on that, would you think? Ken O'Donnell?
Yeah, I was going to say Ken O'Donnell, I think, would be a major one.
Have you got anything I can say at a news conference?
I would strongly urge that you point out that this is the first anniversary of the test ban treaty, Mr. President. We have a little draft over here, and I'm sure State and Mac do as well.
Have you gotten it over to us?
I don't know that it's in your hands, but I just looked at it a short time ago, and it's available.
Get it over to us.
All right, sir. And we also have a brief little announcement we could make on personnel here. We're under a million for the first time since 1950, civilian personnel in the department.
Get that. That's all. How much is that under a year ago?
Oh, it's, hang on just a second, I can tell you.
Or 8 months ago.
Well, it's, let's see.
I'd rather have it for November.
It's, 992 now, and then, now wait a minute, I got the wrong figure. It was 997 on the 1st of July. And on the 1st of January, it was 1034, so it's down 37,000 from the 1st of January. I don't happen to have November in front of me, but I could get it. It's about the same. It's at least 30,000 down from November.
All right, get it for November and let Jack Blandy know, will you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.